We're going to get right to our first newsmaker because he is prompt this morning, and he is the governor of the state. Governor Chris Sununu joins us, GMI Studios, on our network of news talk stations. Governor, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Am I not prompt on other mornings? I hope I'm not one of those late birds that you guys always get. I feel bad.
No, you're a little bit like Bill Belichick. You're very prompt. You've only been tardy maybe by 30 seconds once or twice, but I hope you're having a good start to your Friday.
Great start. Look, it's a great start. There's a lot of really, really good things going on. We're busy. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the thing I love about this job is it's always something different, right? You walk into the office and you got five new issues you got to deal with and five new solutions you got to come up with. So
right. That's
kind of the challenge and the joy of it.
Governor, instead of talking about the COVID update first, I want to break stride a little bit. This case with Harmony Montgomery, you've been paying closer attention to for some time, and I heard some of the regional news. Governor Baker in Massachusetts is commenting on this because you've sent a letter to the courts and to Massachusetts concerned about the powers they gave to that father. I don't know, and I'm afraid to say this, if Harmony's ever going to be found alive, but this is an awful, sad, pathetic case. And what are your concerns about what happened in Massachusetts, and where's this case at in your mind? Because it's sort of gripped. It's become a national story.
Well, look, the concerns are actually extremely clear. You have this horrendous individual with a violent history of abuse, with a history of drug dealing and violence, and why he would be granted full custody by a court before the home study and the interstate compact and all of these very normal and nominal things that should go in through this kind of process with this kind of case could be completed. Why a judge would just give full custody to an individual like this? That was clearly the impetus of all this tragedy that we're talking about. Now, we're doing an internal review on our end. We're going to find out if there are gaps on our end. But, you know, this started as a Massachusetts case. It ended up in the Massachusetts courts, and it spiraled from there. And so we really are trying to get at the whys, and hopefully mm-hmm. they can open up that file, open up that case, and give us as much information as we can in the hopes that we can use it to possibly bring her home.
Governor Chris Sununu on our Good Morning New Hampshire show this morning on our network of news talk stations. Governor, there are some walk-in vaccination sites coming online. I think there's one in Stratham and other sites. What can you tell us about this, and where do you think we're at in this Omicron surge, which I'm hoping in the next week or two starts to subside some?
Yeah, so we have five or six vaccination sites open now that you can go onto our website and see where they are. You just walk right in. No appointments necessary. Just drive right up, walk right in, vaccines, boosters, whatever you need. We have four or five more sites that are going to come online from Keene to a few other areas. So we try to make it super easy. You can find out the locations, the times. You just go to the website. And they've been very successful. My fear with Omicron is that there is some complacency, right? We know that. People say, well, the symptoms aren't as severe, which is true, and that's a very good thing. But if you have other morbidities, as we say, if you are obese, if you have diabetes, if you have other medical conditions that can complicate even Omicron, you can still be in a really, really tough situation. It can still be fatal. It can still send you to the hospital. We need people to take it seriously. So I've been saying for a few weeks that I think the strategies we put into place in December have been incredibly effective to making sure that even with our high case numbers, and everyone in the country has overloaded case numbers, we're nowhere near the top. I mean, even Massachusetts has twice the hospitalization rate as New Hampshire now. So we put a lot of pieces in place that other states haven't. We've been able to maintain some flexibility, and we're kind of bouncing around at the top. We're not seeing skyrocketing numbers anymore. But I think we're still in this for at least a few more weeks before we see a precipitous drop in cases and hospitalizations.
Right.
The problem is that hospitalizations can last 5 or 6 weeks,
right,
on average. So there's a lag time there. And so I think we're still going to have to do a lot of work to maintain our hospital system, support our nurses and doctors that are on the front lines, at least until into the spring.
Governor, there was a piece out of Fox 25 in Boston. I don't want to get into Massachusetts policy, but 49% of the cases in Mass, of the 3,000 plus in the hospital, people went to the hospital for other symptoms and reasons than COVID and were later diagnosed. I guess kind of indirectly leads to my next question. One of the things I've been really concerned about in the last couple of years, and you've been an ongoing part of this discussion, I think you've had over 150 news conferences on this virus, is it never really goes away. We know that. The vaccines are not a cure. They are something that I think people subscribe to be less acutely sick, but there's even confusion from the federal side on who's fully vaccinated or not. How many people will get boosted 6 months from now? I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows. There's a lot of fatigue, but mental health. Mental health is an area that I think is going to be long lasting. We had a doctor on yesterday from the Concord area who's a medical professional in the mental health space, retired Navy SEAL, by the way. And he was saying, Dr. Dave was saying that he would think that of the New Hampshire population, well over half of our 1.3 million people are probably suffering some degree of anxiety, stress, mental health disorder, or acute, you know, pretty serious stuff. And they're sometimes not getting help. And the federal officials never talk about the consequences of their words, the confusing messages, all the policies, the kids that you see that with a look in their eye, some of these kids in the afternoon I see when I'm on my walk, and they just look there. They're telling their parents they're so stressed out about everything. I'm really worried about mental health, and I know that's an area you've talked a lot about. Can you talk about why that's sort of glossed over federally, and is it a bigger problem than we're talking about?
It's been a bigger problem than people are willing to talk about for the last 5 years. Pre-COVID, it was a major problem. COVID exasperated it substantially, and nationally they don't talk about it because they don't have solutions. Here in New Hampshire, we're putting solutions on the table. We've completely rebuilt our mental health system. That process started way before COVID, right? And the latest big investments that we're making and changes we're making is, first, we're allowing for years, before I became governor, outside private groups that had mental health expertise were really shunned from coming into the state. It was like a protect the fiefdom thing. Those days are over. We're bringing in the best and the brightest from across the country. We just bought Hampstead Hospital specifically for children. That hospital runs at about maybe half capacity because they have staffing issues. It's a phenomenal place, mm-hmm. and they do phenomenal work. We're mm-hmm. going to make it bigger. We're going to make it better. We're going to make it a center of excellence. We're making huge investments in the hospital system so they can grow their mental health beds. We're making huge investments in New Hampshire Hospital. We've really, it's been a little arm twisting with the mental health centers across the state, but we're finally telling them, you're going to integrate with your hospitals. You're going to integrate. We're not asking anymore. We're telling. You're going to integrate so that folks aren't waiting in emergency rooms for days and weeks on end so they can get the services that they need. We're making investments in the actual nurses, the mental health professionals. We're changing some of the rules and regulations so that those folks can now get reimbursed by private insurance, whereas they weren't getting reimbursed before. Right. I could keep going down this huge list. We've been tackling this issue hand in hand with NAMI. One of the first things I talked about, when I first became governor, one of the first things I heard was, oh, by the way, we're going to sue the state over the noncompliance with the mental health plan. I said, hold it. You give me 3 to 6 months, I'm going to turn this thing around, and we did. We didn't get sued. We worked together as a team. We brought in the stakeholders. Mm-hmm. But you're exactly right, Jack. COVID has exacerbated this at an exponential level. Other states, the teachers' union, they want to go remote. They want to get kids back out of schools again. I'm saying no. I'm changing those rules and making sure that we're going back to the pre-pandemic strategies of kids need to be in schools. I mean, if there's an outbreak and teachers can't be there, well, of course, you know, kids might have to not be in school, but those days have to be made up. We're going back to those same old rules that worked really, really well before because of the value of the socialization, making sure they have, you know, another set of eyes. They can work with teachers and mentors in other ways other than just being at home, sometimes often very alone. So this has been a crisis. It was ignored by the previous administration. We took it head on, and we're not slowing down. I mean, we're just starting, frankly, with some of these new investments. We have a couple announcements that we're going to make in the next few weeks concerning additional potential hospital capacity, DRF beds, all of this sort of thing. It's the challenge is still staffing, but we're not letting that hold us back. And I've always said it's the unspoken crisis.
Right.
And it still is because the federal government doesn't have solutions. It really has to be done at the state level. And I'm proud. We're far from perfect. Don't get me wrong. But I'm really proud of the work that we've done in this area.
Governor Christensen, before I let you go on this Friday morning, we heard your clip yesterday from Mike Pomp in the Morning Information Center, our station in the Seacoast, but Mike's show on our network, about Joe Biden the day before in the press conference, which, frankly, I'm going to come back to in a minute with you. I know it was over an hour and 40. I mean, yeah, it was quite a long time, but it was the most bizarre. It was actually a bizarre press conference for me to watch, having interviewed presidents or aspiring presidents covering this for many, many years. I watched a meandering president basically open the door for an invasion of Ukraine, which what he said is dramatically different than his own Secretary of State saying this morning. But you've explained why he, you know, what he was trying to do with your words about why you didn't run for the U.S. Senate, and you did that well yesterday, so we aired that on the show. My question is, now that you've had a day or two to think about it, is it a tad bizarre that the president, marking his first year in office, would begin a national press conference referencing you from an interview you did on why you chose not to go be part of the gridlock in Washington and rather be a chief executive and get something done. It was a little bizarre. And when President Trump was president, many people, national media, asked questions about his mental capacity, his mental faculties. And I'm going to ask you, watching that press conference and the President of the United States beginning talking about you, and then all the stops and starts, the pauses, asking reporters what they asked him again, do you have any concerns about his capacity to do this job at this point, the president?
It hasn't been a good year for the president. I think everyone can agree on that. Communication is terrible. They say one thing, they do another, then they do something else, you know, 2 weeks later. This is what I think one of the fundamental problems is. His team so tries to protect him by not allowing him to do press conferences and be out in the public. He doesn't have a rhythm more than anything. I don't want to comment on his mental capacities. I don't know about that, but I think more than anything, you know, I do a press conference at least one, if not two or three, every single week, Jack. And I let people ask questions all day long. When I go out there, I'm ready. And I say, look, I know what's going to come. I'm ready to take questions. I took some last week. I have a sense of where things are. By getting questions all the time, I have a sense of what's going to come next and all of that.
Interesting.
They effectively don't let him practice being president, if you know what I mean. They try to protect him too much.
Right.
And so when he does come out once every 3 months or whatever it is, it's like the groundhog seeing his shadow. He's kind of all over the place, and he's stammering, and he can't get his rhythm, and he can't figure it out. And, you know, he kind of exploded on that one reporter from Politico, Phil Wegman, who's frankly one of the sweetest guys in the world. So I don't know what's going on other than I think his team has to back off and let him be president a little bit more. I think personally, you remember when the president was running and said, I'm going to use my relationships and work with Republicans across the aisle. He didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use my relationships to get things done. He didn't do it because his team's trying to kind of effectively hold them back. I firmly believe that. And so my hope is that they're kind of learning their lesson. They open up a little bit. They let him be president a little more. And you won't see these kind of bizarre – I mean, it really was a bizarre press conference on so many different levels.
Right.
And maybe with they let him get out there a little bit more, he'll be a little more consistent.
Governor, I'm just going to comment because it's a fascinating answer, and I'm thinking and I'm nodding while you're giving it because it makes a lot of sense. You're basically saying they're so worried about him bumbling and messing up that they're over-handcuffing him, and then he overcompensates and – tries to show everyone that he's there, but the problem is he's the boss. He doesn't have to go along with what they're telling him. So if he wants to work with Republicans, he doesn't have to listen to Schumer and Pelosi. If he wants to get out there and be himself, he can fire his press. He can fire Jen Psaki. So I just that's a counterpoint I'd make, that he is still the boss. So if he's allowing them, it's almost like a shadow-type White House. That's even scarier.
Well, he's never been in charge. Look, he's been a senator his whole life, and he was vice president. I get it, but he's never been the guy in charge. He's never really been a true manager.
Right.
And that's a skill of management, how to take advice, what you can listen to, but at the end of the day, having that real firm grounding of the buck stops here, and I'm the one that has to make the decision. I have to look at what's happening, and I'm the one that has to pivot the team. And I don't think he has that experience. He's, as much as he's been in Washington, he really doesn't have executive experience. I think that goes for pretty much everybody in Washington.
All right. Hey, out of left field, have you had any discussions at all with President Trump? Do you think he's coming to New Hampshire soon? Is he going to weigh in the Senate race?
No,
or no discussions?
No, I have not talked to him. But, you know, we're just focusing here.
Appreciate it.
No, I'm not sure.
All right. Hey, have a great weekend. I hope you get out there and get on some snow.
Hope so. Thank you, buddy. Be good, everybody.